Man, this song takes me back. Careless Whisper. Of course, George Michael dying yesterday, passing away at the age of 53, which is way too young. 53, still, they're saying the police, when they said his death was unexplained but not suspicious. Heart failure, is supposedly the cause of his death. And that Careless Whisper, when it was unbelievable timing for him, he and Andrew Ridgeley and Wham coming along when MTV was just starting off, because MTV really made these guys into superstars. And then when George Michael went on with his solo career, crazy, just crazy with the videos. Now I'm one of these guys. Violetta, do you even know who George Michael is? Were you familiar with his music?
I was familiar with that song.
With Wham, the Wham song,
mm-hmm.
Careless Whisper. Nothing. See, I lost. I'll be honest. I lost track of George Michael after a while because there, you know, Veronica, remember reporting on news stories. He was busted a few times for lewd activity in parks.
Yeah, wasn't so nice.
Had some self-admitted problems with drugs and alcohol, and he was just he had some trouble. But let's get a bigger picture of him. Jason Nathanson is the ABC News entertainment correspondent, and he's going to be joining us in just a minute to give us kind of an overview on what's been going on since, if there was any new developments, and the legacy of George Michael. Jason joins us now. Jason, thanks for taking some time this afternoon. Good to talk to you again.
No problem.
Well, 2016 keeps taking its toll on the entertainment industry. The latest, of course, George Michael, 53, way, way, way too young. And from the reports I'm reading, unless there's been some sort of update, they're just saying heart failure, not suspicious, just he hadn't been sick, but that sometimes that just happens. Is that still what they're going with?
That's still what we're hearing. I mean, anytime a 53-year-old man dies, you know, it's suspicious because, I mean, 53-year-old men usually just don't drop dead.
Exactly.
Obviously, it happens. Heart failure, I find it interesting. His manager was the one who told us heart failure, and I find that interesting because that's usually kind of a medical diagnosis that you would make via an autopsy, which would take a couple of days. You don't really know heart failure immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, that's interesting to note. Police say that, you know, that they're investigating, that there's no, you know, nothing crazy going on here. That he, you know, it's not murder. I imagine that there's no drug paraphernalia found around the scene. It's possible he just died in his sleep. So then that caused everybody to wonder why. You know, what happened? Well, we know that he has a history of drug use and drug abuse, you know, over the past several years. That's been a factor in his life. I don't know if that's something that contributed to this or not, or was just, you know, contributed over the span of his life. You use a lot of drugs, it makes your heart weak. I mean, that happens. We've seen that in Whitney Houston, in Prince, in a lot of people, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, they're looking at that. Police said they're going to do an autopsy. They'll have more information then. That could take a couple days to get some preliminary results back, and then if they're going to do a tox screen, that usually takes a couple of weeks.
Had there been any, we had talked about the well-publicized reports of, you know, George Michael being found asleep in his car with different, and his drug and alcohol. Has there been any reports of that recently where one might say, oh, see, he was unfortunately going down the wrong path again and things, you know, just turned bad?
You know, all kinds of things are flying around the internet right now. George Michael was a recluse. George Michael was fat. George Michael had AIDS. George Michael this, that, the other. We don't know. I mean, you know, it's the internet. So rumors fly, right? All we know is that we haven't seen him in a little while. He did become kind of a little bit of a recluse. You know, he hasn't been out in public a whole lot. And that's about it. There's a Twitter account that belongs to his kind of on-again, off-again boyfriend, apparently a guy named Fadi Fawaz, who says that on Christmas Day he found his partner peacefully in bed. I will never stop missing you. So we know that. But we haven't heard anything about any kind of illness, any kind of sickness, any, you know, really bad pictures or anything. drug abuse in the past couple of years. The only big health thing that we knew of was this pneumonia bout that he had 5 years ago, which was pretty severe. But again, you wouldn't think that that would be something that would lead to your death 5 years
later. No, not 5 years later.
No.
Now, there'd been, I mean, George Michael had always talked about kind of pulling back and how uncomfortable he was with celebrities. So using the term recluse, that's not really that big a surprise, is it? This is a guy who always struggled with fame. And it wanted his music and his work to speak for itself more so than him being out there in front of people.
He did, and he said that a lot. He said the drug use was part of that because his insecurity and being uncomfortable in the spotlight, uncomfortable in his own skin. So he was always searching for some way to hide that or numb that, and that's why the drug use. But, yeah, I mean, it wasn't really about celebrity for him, you know, because he was so successful in those early days in Wham! You know, and in just 4 short years, selling so many albums and just being on every poster and, you know, the height of celebrity in the 80s, right?
Right.
At a time when you had Prince and Madonna and everybody else, you know, all these people, a lot of them who've left us, you know, this year, in fact. You know, he was right up there with them. And then he broke out and did the solo thing, which is so hard to do. So he was so famous for so long, and he just wanted to take a step back, and he tried a couple times, but then he always kept getting back into the spotlight, whether it was for music or something like, you know, bathroom incidents or, you know, drugs.
Or even coming out as gay on CNN and, you know, talking about how people had always thought he was gay and he hadn't acted on it, and now he's decided that he was coming out. And, you know, in that day and age, a celebrity to come out and make that announcement, it could have really hurt his brand. He didn't care. It ended up not, of course, as it shouldn't, but that was a big thing to be out in the public with, and people kind of forget that about him, that he's been out and proud of it for a long time before a lot of other celebrities ever thought about it.
Yeah, he was, and he had been, and that was something that didn't happen a whole lot back then, especially in such a public way for him to be kind of forced out about that, and then for his career to not really take a huge hit. And a lot of people watched that and said, oh, interesting. He can come out and he can do that, and it's not really going to hurt him. And this is a guy who all the girls love.
Oh,
know,
yeah.
You know, they had the posters on the wall, and he's playing the guitar and, you know, kind of all that. And the girls loved him. And he could come out and still sell millions of albums because it was really all about the work and all about the voice. So, you know, one of the words we keep hearing in the past 24 hours or so, over and over and over again, more than anything else, was generous, was how generous George Michael was. And after he did come out and he, you know, started working for charity and started working for change, apparently that was something that was a big part of his personality, generosity, donating a lot of money, but also donating a lot of time to different causes to try to help out.
And he was a guy who, even in the later part of his career, and it seems odd to say that for a guy who was only 53 when he died, but in more recent career, was still getting rave reviews as his music veered away from pop and got into more serious or standardy kind of things. His voice and the material still carried.
Yeah. I mean, he was, because he had talent. He was just that good, and his voice was good. And you see a lot of that as well from Elton John and a lot of others talking about just how talented he was. You know, these are major singers and major stars who are majorly talented themselves, but they all seem to respect him. I think there are two camps, people who really, really appreciated George Michael for his music and for his voice and for his talent and what he could do, and people who kind of saw George Michael like, you know, a little bit of the freak show, the guy that they weren't so sure. But so I think for a lot of people who weren't sure if he was really talented, a lot of these people are setting the record straight in this past 24 hours saying this was a guy who was a supreme talent above, you know, maybe all others, and this was a guy who should have been really, really respected as an artist and deserves your respect.
As talented as he was and as respected as he should be, how important was the timing between Wham's emergence and the birth of MTV to bring this confluence of talent and a new medium out there to put him in front of so many millions of people in America, where he could have been big in Britain, but before MTV, he may have just stayed there?
Oh, sure. I mean, it can't be understated. That was the medium that propelled a guy like this with his kind of, you know, perpetual 5 o'clock shadow and shaking it in the tight jeans and everything. He was made for a visual medium like that. So he had the voice to back it up. He was always going to sell a lot of records, but you do that, and that propels him into superstardom. And again, that can't be understated.
Let's switch gears just a little bit, Jason, before I let you go. The other day I was on the air, I start seeing tweets that Carrie Fisher is dead. Then, thank God she is not. She had had a heart attack supposedly on the plane. Now Debbie Reynolds tweets out that she's stable. What do we know about Carrie Fisher?
Well, that word stable is being thrown around, and we don't really know exactly what that means. It
right.
comes from Debbie Reynolds. She says stable, but is that a medical term coming from doctors, or does that just mean that she means her daughter is, you know, lying there but okay and mm-hmm. not in any kind of danger? Or is she critical but stable, which is something that we were told in the early days, I think, by her brother. So we don't really know right now. We don't know how bad. At first, we were told massive heart attack. And there's different degrees of heart
sure.
attack, but we were told massive, which is something that usually, you know, kills people. So if that's the case, she has a long road of recovery. She could be in really, you know, dire straits right now, trying to recover and get back. Or she could be up and around and walking and talking in a couple of days if she truly is stable and getting better. We just don't know the degrees right now. So we sit and we wait and we look for tweets and we look for statements from her mom and her brother and those kinds of things. We, you know, kind of like George Michael, again, we just don't know all the details yet.
And again, Carrie Fisher, only 60, which is, again, very young to be battling for your life. Now, all right, let me ask you this. This is just a kind of a inside baseball question for you, Jason. You're a guy who covers entertainment nonstop for ABC. When things like this break, a story like Carrie Fisher, where do you tend to go? Because there's a lot of talk now about fake news, and that extends into all sorts of news, entertainment news included. What are you looking for to base, your stories on, where you know how many, you know, people do you have to check with? Where do you get your information?
We don't do anything until we go right to the sources who know her best and the people that we call. We know who the publicists are.
Okay.
We know who the managers are. We know who the spokespeople are. So we get in contact with them and say, hey, what's up? And until we know from those people or relatives too, you know, we look for relatives.
Sure.
But we look for somebody who is, you know, intimately connected with the person before we go anything. We don't go with tweets and stuff. We see all that information, and that's usually what starts the information search for us.
Right.
But we won't actually, you know, report or say until we get in contact with at least two people who know, who are independent of each other, who know exactly what's going on.
Very nice. Well, that's why we can count on you. Jason, it is always a pleasure to talk to you. If I don't talk to you before, have a happy new year, and we'll talk to you as soon as possible.
Anytime. Thanks. Same to
you. Take care. That's Jason Nathanson. He is ABC News entertainment correspondent. I admire George Michael. I lost track of him after some of the big videos. Were you a George Michael fan back in the day, Veronica? Were you, did you love Wham and all of that? She's having a conversation. I always try to interrupt people when they're having another conversation, Jasmine. That's what I do. I just butt in. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll weigh in with you on your thoughts about that if you want. We'll give you some history on Boxing Day, which is today, and so much more. Why? Because that's what we do here at WGN.